Good morning, everyone. I'm Sally Koblinski. I'm a professor and associate dean of the School of Public Health at the University of Maryland. This is one of my collaborators, Dr. Randolph from MyoTech, and then I've also listed the other collaborators from the Mental Health Association of Montgomery County, Maryland, and we have no disclosures. As all of you know, several million troops have served in Iraq and Afghanistan, and at least 1.6 million of these troops have returned and are now veterans. These numbers will also be increasing, and while veterans bring tremendous strength to our communities, they also face some of the transition challenges that you just mentioned with trying to translate your military skills to civilian skills, with going back to school when your academic skills may be a bit rusty, or dealing with war-related issues like PTSD. So this became the impetus for a very innovative program in Montgomery County, Maryland, called Serving Together. This project actually serves military and veterans from all war eras, but this was a program that was designed to enhance and to coordinate a whole range of services, from health and mental health to education, employment services, housing, and other support services for veterans and their families. It's supported by the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation on a four-year grant, and also has broad support in the community from Montgomery County government, local foundations, and other donors. As far as our county goes, we're located right next to the District of Columbia, and we have almost 50,000 veterans. About a sixth of them you see are from the Operation Iraqi Freedom and Operation Enduring Freedom. We're also home to Walter Reed National Military Medical Center that has 500 wounded warriors being treated at any given time along with their families. The National Intrepid Center of Excellence is also located on the Walter Reed campus, and that is an institution that focuses on treatment of PTSD and traumatic brain injuries. And you can see we're also within an hour of several installations, including Fort Meade and Andrews Air Force Base. This is the county right here in the middle, in the kind of rust color, and you can see it joins other counties that also have large numbers of veterans. So Serving Together has a number of different components. I'm just going to talk about one today, but they include a communication plan to let the community know about some of both the strengths and the challenges of veterans from all war eras. They have a website that categorizes services available to veterans and service members and their families, and that breaks it down into the different categories I talked about, like housing, mental health, employment, support, and so forth. And, you know, it includes news, discounts for veterans, et cetera, and I give you the website right here. One component of Serving Together that I think is actually very unique is the Peer Navigator. Peer Navigators, as you know, are individuals that have shared the same experience as their clients. They mentor, they advise, provide support, and give their clients hope and kind of optimism for the future. They do not provide therapy, but they provide a range of other services. And, you know, they've been used effectively with individuals that have HIV/AIDS, mental illness, cancer, fewer programs that deal with the military. Here you can see the Peer Navigator service is broadly sort of communicated to the community through these bus posters. There are posters in bus shelters, down at the metro, some in the mall, et cetera. And, you know, they hopefully inform military members and service members who need help about this service. There are three other additional peer navigation systems that we were able to identify, and you can see they're all located near large military installations in North Carolina, Charlotte Bridge Home, Augusta Warrior Project, and the Aspen Point Peer Navigator Service. these are very similar to our project in terms of their peer navigation component. But I would say, you know, and they provide especially a lot of help with employment and veterans who are returning to school. I think our project focuses a little bit more on mental health issues, probably because of the sponsoring agency. So Serving Together also does trainings for behavioral health providers around conditions that and military culture that social workers, psychologists, marriage and family therapists might encounter in their practice. And they do mental health first aid trainings for family members so that they can, for example, identify symptoms of PTSD, know where to refer, et cetera. Okay. So here's our peer navigator, Ernie Spiker. He is a veteran who has also overcome transition challenges himself, so he has a great deal of empathy for his clients. We hired him in the third year of the project in April of 2013, and he spent a couple of months becoming familiar with those 280 services that are, you know, shown on the website because he has to know where to refer individuals. He also became an instructor in mental health first aid, went to a six-week course held by the American Association of Suicidology, and then, of course, learned the system that the county or that the mental health agency has for tracking clients. If you look at the kinds of contacts that he has, they can be divided into three groups. Most of the contacts come by phone. He has these cards that he hands out. You know, he goes to, you know, not only to military-related events, but to county fairs and, you know, any place where you might find both recent or older veterans. And you can also, though, access him on the website, and some of the younger veterans have done it that way. But the first category is information services, and those are probably one-time contacts where somebody may need to have Ernie look at their GI Bill benefits and suggest, you know, how much more time they have. They may need a referral to a vet center, something along that nature. The second group requires at least one follow-up, and those are short-term consultation and referrals. So in that case, Ernie may actually take the individual, because we really believe in these warm handoffs, to a counseling center appointment or to a job skills training program, and then follow up to see whether or not that program is actually meeting the veteran or service member's needs. Long-term assistance, 2 weeks to a year, in some of these cases are still open because these are the more complex issues where you may have, for example, a veteran who is homeless or at risk of homelessness, who needs a job, you know, who needs housing, who needs maybe mental health counseling as well. And the breakdown you see is here, about 30% of the cases are that one-time contact, about 22% are the short-term, and those require a little over 2 to 3 visits. And then the long-term assistance, which is averaging about over 8 visits. So he gets very involved with the various clients. If we look at the first year of the peer navigator, it's interesting that about 35% were Cold War veterans who were more willing to come forward with issues. The OEF and OIF veterans were a little bit slower in terms of coming forward, but through social media and word of mouth, that group is increasing. There are about equal numbers of men and women, which probably looks a little bit surprising because women were only about 15% of veterans in the most recent conflicts and even lower before. But women are the majority of the next group, which are family members, their wives and mothers who are concerned about their either service members or veterans and are calling for help. And you can see the breakdown, again, of veterans and active duty and reserves. The requests for assistance are probably, you know, pretty predictable. Financial challenges. Oftentimes, you know, when you first transition, especially out of the service, you aren't used to paying for your housing, your medical care, et cetera. Even though a lot of people go to the VA, we still find a number using, you know, choosing to use civilian providers for some of the reasons that you talked about earlier. Employment issues, housing, behavioral health conditions. There's often a sort of catch-22 in the sense that in our county, you can't get a job unless you have a permanent address, but you can't, you know, get housing unless you have a job. And so, you know, this becomes difficult, and he's got to deal with both issues. We thought it was important to evaluate the service, you know, both in terms of getting future funding, but also, more importantly, to know whether it or not it was effective. And you can see overall, you know, satisfaction is pretty high. Everything is between good and excellent, but there's a special appreciation, I think, for the interpersonal skills and the empathy of the peer navigator. I would say that his knowledge of available resources is increasing, and, you know, in some cases, there just aren't services available. You know, for example, it's hard to get housing in our county unless you have a mental health diagnosis or, you know, a severe have a substance abuse problem or a disability. So, you know, that's another important reason why we are working to change policy. And on the advisory council, we have representatives of county government, the chief of staff for Veterans Affairs of the state, and Congressman Chris Van Hollen's office is also represented on the council, because one of his important roles is to identify service gaps so that we can affect policy, and that has already occurred in terms of changing some hiring issues around disabled veterans, wounded warriors, where they don't have to compete they don't have to compete with others for a certain range of job titles in the government, in the county government. As far as the qualitative feedback, you can see there's appreciation for the accessibility of the service. You know, many times I compare it to trying to get into the VA and appreciate the 24-hour response. I mentioned the empathy. They also really appreciate the sort of one-stop referrals, the idea that you can come in and get a referral to a job training program, get a gas card to attend the program. There'll be follow-up, et cetera. And we thought it was important to actually catalog behavior change. And so, you know, we asked them, you know, what did you do as a result of your contact with the peer navigator? You know, these are examples, and you can see that, you know, there have been successes, both in terms of being more deliberate and strategic in researching jobs, redoing your military resume to be a more civilian-friendly resume. A number of people have entered community college or counseling programs and so forth. And then, very importantly, the peer navigator has given people hope and optimism for the future. We've also surveyed the agencies that are most likely to serve them. For example, Easter Seals has a respite care program for children, for active duty military, as well as job training programs. So we've taken probably about 15 agencies that are the most common referrals, and they have indicated that clients are more likely to attend appointments, that they're seeking care for mental health issues earlier, and they see overall improved client coping and self-sufficiency. Another obvious goal of this project was to integrate resources, to develop stronger partnerships, avoid some of the duplication of services, and they feel that is being accomplished as well. Still, there are challenges. I mentioned initially the outreach to the most recent veterans. One of the things that you might have seen on the bus poster is that Mental Health Association of Montgomery County is listed on that poster. So a number of veterans thought this was just a PTSD program rather than a comprehensive program, so we've had to de-emphasize that. Unfortunately, there has not, while large businesses like Lockheed Martin or Booz Allen Hamilton, Discovery Channel, have embraced hiring veterans, some of the smaller businesses have been more reluctant, and so we are working to get more involvement of the local chambers of commerce. Also, a number of faith communities have not felt this is as pressing an issue, which is unfortunate because we know that veterans are more likely after family and friends to consult the clergy before they go to a mental health counselor. So we are working on that by reaching out first to the mega churches who are likely to have more veterans and military, and that's an ongoing effort. And then it was a surprise that there were so many clients with more severe issues. Originally, it was estimated that only 20% of the peer navigators' client load would have these more long-term issues, complex issues, and as you saw, it was about 50%. So we have learned a number of lessons. We know that there is a need, that the cases are more complex, that this warm handoff with the high touch is very effective, and that we need more program evaluation. I didn't talk about this so much, but it has been difficult to do the follow-ups with the clients. Initially, we were going to do 90 days, and by the time 90 days had elapsed, a lot of, you know, phones were disconnected, or when our trained volunteers call, you know, they're mistaken for solicitors, and people hang up, and they have to call back, et cetera. So then we moved to a 30-day evaluation, and we also put a SurveyMonkey evaluation up. But still, the evaluation data that you saw probably represents about 50% of the cases that were had at least one follow-up. One of the goals of the project I mentioned at the beginning was to develop a model that could be replicated in other communities, and we were pleased that the project has a planning net grant now from a Fairfax County Foundation. You can see Fairfax County just adjoins Montgomery County, and so we have a planning grant this summer to catalog all of those resources, and then they plan to go full scale in the fall. We're also hoping to reach out to get funding for Prince George's County. But I do want to mention that the peer navigator really takes clients from all of these counties because the boundaries are so flexible. Oftentimes you may work in one county, live in another, et cetera. So I'd be happy to take any questions about serving together. One other thing I did want to mention. So we have these cards that are passed out, and one of the groups that we've worked effectively with has been first responders, so that now the police, when they may see a veteran or they may see someone driving erratically, they will pull them over, ask them if they're a veteran. Instead of bringing them into the police station, they'll give them a warning and give them a card referring them to the peer navigator. So that has been a group that we didn't initially intend to reach out to, but has been very effective in spreading the word. Any questions? Okay, well, thank you.